believe in preaching in pulpits. I like coming out here because you never know quite where I'm going to be, and it keeps you awake. It's a delight to be here with you. My wife Sarah and I, a couple of years ago, actually on one of our long walks, stopped here. I think we walked from Tretower through here, back up to Bulch, and back to Tretower. And I remember well stopping here and admiring this beautiful building. We often visit churches, and you can always tell, because when one comes into sight on one of our walks, our dogs' tails go down and their heads, and they know they're going to be leashed up to, and we're going to spend ages inside. I bring the greetings of the dean and chapter of the cathedral. I hope you do come and visit us from time to time, and perhaps taste some of the exciting things that we have going on there as the place is beginning to grow again and gain some life, which is a really exciting thing to see. And of course, any way that we can be of aid to you all as the mother church of this diocese, then do let us know. The more we are in fellowship with one another, the more the kingdom of God can be proclaimed in this lovely area. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I am, by my own way of reckoning, an avid walker. Other people say I'm a very crazy walker, that I walk miles and miles and miles. And a number of years ago, when I was still living in Cardiff, I went for a walk after work up Van Vouw. I don't know how many of you have been up Van Vouw or know where it is. It's a lovely mountain on the other side of Storey Arms from Cornby and Penavan. Everybody who parks in Storey Arms goes up, choose to go up Penavan. I actually think Van Vouw is the more beautiful view. But as I was driving up, not unusually, the clouds descended, and I parked at the reservoir in deep gloom. And I thought, well, that's a fine thing to drive all this way, to go walking in deep gloom. But still, I had to go walking. After all, I brought my spaniel Cuthbert with me, and he was going to give me no other choice. And so we started up the mountain. Gloom. No views, nothing. Just walking up this gloomy mountain. But as we got to the top, almost at the moment that we reached the cairn and the triangulation point up there, the mist faded, not totally, but just enough that as the sun set and its rays extended, suddenly the entire mountain and everything I could see around me turned a brilliant gold. I've never seen anything quite like it. The mist was just fine enough that it could take in the sunlight and reflect it. And the light was mesmerizing. Now, I've been up, and I have been up since Van Vouw many, many, many times. But in that moment, that mountain and everything around it was utterly transfigured, utterly transformed. A little bit of light had done wonders. Well, in the Old Testament lesson today, we heard about Jacob on his very long trek. Not a trek that he's chosen to do, a trek he's had to do because he has annoyed his older brother. He has annoyed his older brother Esau by tricking his father into giving him his birthright. And so Esau now wants to kill him. Nice family relations that we get in the Old Testament. Some of you may sympathize with this. And so Jacob has had to flee. He has lost everything. In the ancient world, when you lost your family, you became a nobody. He is out in the wilderness, a nobody with no great prospects. And one evening, he stops to camp, hasn't brought a tent and a sleeping bag with him, silly fellow. And so he pulls up a rock for a pillow and he goes to sleep. And he has this strange dream of a ladder stretching up to heaven. and angels descending and ascending this ladder. Any of you who have been to Bath Abbey will have seen the wonderful statuary outside of depicting this scene. And the Lord says to him, I make a promise with you that your descendants will multiply and spread across the earth, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. And Jacob wakes up. Now, if I were Jacob, I think my reaction would be, well, that what comes of using a rock for a pillow. Of course, you're going to have strange dreams. But he's amazed. And he said, the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. I couldn't see him. The Lord was here and I couldn't see him. What a place this is. How, as we would say in America, it shows that Jacob's probably in America, how awesome is this place? This is truly the house of God. This is truly the gate of heaven. His eyes were open to the presence of the Lord in that spot that he could not see before. Then we get in the New Testament this rather strange lesson where Nathanael is called, and Nathanael demonstrates that he is the most easily impressed of all the disciples. Jesus sees him from afar off and sitting under a fig tree, goes up to him and says, hello, Nathanael. And Nathanael said, how do you know I am? I saw you under the fig tree. Wow! Truly you are the Lord of Israel, the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you think it's impressive that I saw you sitting under the fig tree? Just wait, you will see the heavens open and angels ascending and descending, just as it happened with Jacob. Now, what does this mean, other than this strange ladder stretching way up to heaven with angels climbing up and getting tired as they climbed up, unless they've got their wings, and descending? Well, it's a symbolic way. It's a metaphorical way. It's a way of using an image to demonstrate how this world really is and how this world needs to be made more visibly so. A ladder connects places. A ladder makes places accessible. There are places we all know that we can't get to without using a ladder. And what it is demonstrating here, not least with the angels being included, and more on that in a second, as after all it is the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, is how accessible heaven should be to us here on earth. That distance that we perceive between ourselves and God, the distance that we perceive between our reality and God's reality, which seems so immense right now, should be as one. Very often in the Bible, when angels appear, it is to demonstrate that fact, that heaven is not somewhere distant, but heaven is all around us. If we have only the eyes to see it, if we have only the kind of light, like I experienced on Van Vaur, that will transform this world to make it manifest. So, when they wanted to signify the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant, angels were stuck on top. The statues. If you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, of course you know what that looks like. When God became man in Mary's womb, it is announced by an angel. And Revelation, as we heard today, depicts this coming together in this place, not in a happy way, with the devil being thrown down, but that what happens in heaven happens here on earth as well. That the distance between the two is not a great one. Many other examples in Scripture of angels signifying the presence of God among us. Angels, in a sense, pronounce their messages from God by saying that this is the house of God, this is the gate of heaven. Now, Revelation reminds us that that's actually not how we experience this world. That this world is where the devil has been cast down. And his minions, many of whom serve on PCCs now. See, I can say that. This is a fallen world. This is a world where our experience of life is not very angelic. That can be hard, can be full of suffering, can be full of things that make God seem very distant. And some of the places where God can seem most distant, you can tell them because they have an altar in the front of them. When we come together as a congregation, when we come together to worship and in fellowship, instead of expressing that this is the house of God, this is the gate of heaven, this is where angels should feel at home, we sort of grumble and exhibit anything but the joy of heaven and mutter about this, that, and the other, and perhaps not be much bothered with doing much of anything. And so people can come to places even like this, or even places like the cathedral, and the last thing you will ever hear them say is, truly this is the house of God, truly this is the gate of heaven. One of the beautiful things about the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels is by making us or encouraging us to think about the angels like St. Michael or St. Gabriel, or the guardian angels, and the angels who do battle with Satan. They should also remind us, as the bishop said when he was introducing the collect, that you and I are angels too. Now, you may not believe that, and a few of you are probably very angelic, but we have been called to be angels. Actually, a very quick story in America. Nobody knows what an Anglican is. So most of the post to my church was addressed to All Saints Anglican Church. I used to say Anglicans are anything but angelic. But we are called to be angels. Angels is just a Greek word for messenger, people who bear a message. And the message that we bear, perhaps with our words, but more importantly in our lives, and most importantly, not in our individual lives, but our collective lives together, the life of this community as a church, is that this world, if we only had the eyes to see, is the house of God and the gate of heaven. Jesus in his ministry says, no particular place, no particular spot, not the temple, not Jerusalem, not any particular place is the house of God. The gate of heaven. All of creation is the house of God, the gate of heaven. All of creation is chalked through with God's divine presence. And our job as Christians, especially in this day and age, when we think of this world as just something to be exploited, are we called to bear the message that our Creator and our Redeemer is there for all to see, if only we shed the light, the bright golden rays of God to make that visible. That is our calling. If we are not out in this world making it much more evident that this world is God's house, it is the gate of heaven. If we are not keeping people from having to say, the Lord was here and I did not know him, but being able to experience the love, the joy, the heavenly delight that makes God present in our lives, then we might as well give up. And so, be angels, be God's messengers. Bear that good news, the good news of the gospel, of God's bright life that has overcome even death itself. be like those golden rays that I experienced on Van Valen, transforming how people understand and see this world, allowing this world in its gloom to suddenly see the bright rays of God who calls them home. Amen.